This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
You are listening to the Wolves Fan Show on Love Sports Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Well, this is the station giving fans a voice, and we've got your team covered with Churchill Business Insurance. It is another big Wolves show tonight, and there is only one man for the job. But once again, I am joined by my co-host, Jordan Russell, and you can join me and Jordan tonight. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Jordan, there is so much to unpack on tonight's Wolves show. We're going to be talking about the 0-0 draw with Brighton on the weekend. Rare for Wolves to fire a blank, but still defensively sound, picking up yet more points in that top four race. But big news of the week, and it's where we start our show tonight. Wolves' last 16 clash with Olympiakos in Greece will now be played behind closed doors. Jordan, it's always good to do the show with you. It's a top story at the minute. What are you making of the situation?
Yeah, evening, Charlie. I mean, yeah, it's quite bizarre, isn't it, really? And by all means, I'm definitely not the expert to be talking about what we should be doing, what we shouldn't be doing. But ultimately, you know, health comes first, isn't it? So I think it's quite a bit of a strange scenario that we've got on our hands in terms of, well, a world epidemic, let alone tomorrow's game with the football. I think you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't, really, in the fact is that, you know, if you play the game, if you carry on playing football games, then, you know, fans can contract the virus or vice versa. You know, it's catch 22, isn't it? Ultimately, we could postpone all football now. But I've said it too on the podcast in our WhatsApp group. It's very much like the analogy of, you know, where rain stops play with cricket. So, like, say, if it's, you know, whatever the level is now, if you want to cancel all football now within the UK now or across Europe, then that's the parameter before you can carry on playing football and have live events. For me, anyway, I think that's how you've got to measure it. You know, but again, like I say, we could carry on playing for another month. You know, it could get even worse. But then you'll be looking back retrospectively and said, should we really be playing? Should we be, you know, making players play? You know, fans want to go and attend the team. It's quite a difficult topic of conversation, really. I think you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't, really.
Yeah, it's a really difficult issue. It's even hard to tackle it, really, with me and you on radio. And there's so many different contributing factors. And it's not just football, like you said, all sporting events, the Olympics, the Euros coming up in the summer. How can they cancel the games? When will they reschedule the games? And I know Wolves obviously wanted this game to actually be postponed, saying it was an unnecessary risk. And they put that to UEFA, but UEFA completely rejected that flat out, didn't they?
Yeah, they have, and I think that the statement on the official website last night was quite powerful, really. That it's very much that, you know, the players, I don't mean the players want to go, you know, the management definitely don't, you know, the fans can't attend the game now. There's still, I've got friends who had to travel and have decided not to go to Greece. I've got friends who have still gone to Greece. It's that sort of, whilst it's still in limbo, and it's very much sort of, I suppose, player's choice, in the want of a word of a golf term, it's hard really to ascertain what's the right or wrong actions to be taken, like I said. And I think that, going back to my analogy I said earlier about the barometer, really, I think that if you stop and halt sporting events now across Europe, then when do you start again? Because it's not as if this is going to just disappear overnight or very quickly. And then it's the fact of what do you do with this season, how do you finish the season, who goes up, who goes down, because ultimately Liverpool fans are going to want to complete the season, and any team that had been successful this year are going to want to complete the season. I mean, as a Wolves fan, I want to complete the season, but then you might get a Norwich City fan saying, oh, let's just start again from next season, and then there'll be, you know what I mean, but then they'll be like, you know, then you've got Leeds and West Brom fans who may be moaning about quitting. It's really, I don't know what the answer is been, you know, is my truthful answer on that. So
yeah, I don't think really Liverpool fans will be too happy, Jordan. But you did mention it, and I wanted to ask, because I know you'll have friends who were going out to Greece, and fans, have they cancelled their trips? Have they got refunds? Are they still going? Because the weird issue of it, Jordan, is obviously fans aren't allowed in the stadium, you know, it's behind closed doors, empty stadium, yet the fans will still be out in Greece, socialising, you know, 1,000 fans making the trip, out in the pubs, out in the bars, in the hotels. They're still socialising and interacting with people. So what's the point of, oh, they can't sit in the stand because of the virus, but they can be everywhere else with more people?
Yeah, and that's nail on the head, really. And I think you saw it yesterday with the Atalanta game, where it was played behind closed doors. But before the game, there was like 30,000 Valencia fans, with flares, giving it the old, you know, wanting to, you know, give their team a bit of support before they go in the stand. I mean, surely that's counterproductive that there's 30,000 people in even closer proximity with no barriers. And that's the thing. Like I say, I think you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. Like Wolves fans going over there, like I say, a lot of people I know who were going have opted out of it. Some have got refunds, some haven't. But more so the fact of, you know, people with like young families and stuff, like Roy, who does the show, he was going over there. He's got a young family, and he's decided against going. He's lost out on his money, but simply because you couldn't risk being locked in Greece or being self-isolated in Greece or anything, you know, it's that sort of...
It's the worry of getting back, isn't it? It's not the getting out there, it's the getting back.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, you know, that'd be the worst thing ever. But I think even that you even think about that question before you're going over to a country, you shouldn't be going. Like, you really shouldn't be going, because there's going to be the thing now where, for example, Wolves play tomorrow night in Olympiacos. You know, Friday, there could be like a national pandemic in Greece, that there's a massive outbreak of coronavirus. We're meant to play in West Ham on Sunday. Like, you know, it's just mad. It's absolutely mental. So, like I say, I'm not saying that I agree with that games should be behind closed doors as of yet, or, you know, games should be called off. I still think for now, if it's still very low, in low-risk countries, that games should still be okay to be, you know, be played and fans still okay to attend. But, like I say, it's that barometer. Mm. I mean, in hindsight, I'm saying that, and then in a month's time, there could be a national outbreak of it, and then I'll be the mugger who said, oh, yeah. You know what I mean? I'm on radio saying that, you know. So, but that's just my
opinion
on it.
It's clipped up, it's live, it's out there, Jordan.
Yeah, get it on loop, mate, I'm sure.
But the interesting thing is, because other games, obviously, in Serie A, behind closed doors, Leverkusen and Rangers, that's another game that will be played behind closed doors. But it's more affecting Wolves, because it is the Olympiacos owner, Evangelos Madenakis, who does have the virus himself. I've probably just butchered that Greek name, but it was a fair attempt, Jordan. But he is the one who actually has the virus, obviously owns Nottingham Forest as well. He's been in contact here, Arsenal having a problem. And so Wolves are almost a direct threat, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that all the Olympiacos players, medical staff, managerial staff, I think everyone in the club's been background checked in terms of they've all had the coronavirus checked. They've all come back negative. I'm sure the Wolves players will have to have testing before or after the game, I would have thought. You know, that's all fine. I know that the Nottingham Forest players and players and management staff have all had to get tested today. Thankfully, that's all negative. And it's like I say, it's when you've got something as what could be as deadly as this in terms of to people who have got underlying health issues, the elderly and young children. It doesn't matter, like, you know, necessarily if I caught it at 28 years old, but still, I could pass it on to someone else. And, you know, I'd feel terrible if, you know, I thought I'd contributed to the spread of a virus. So it's got, like I say, I think you've got to look at it as if football stops or sport stops, then ultimately the country will stop as well. Because you can't say you can't go to the Olympic Stadium on Sunday in West Ham in London, but then, oh, Monday morning, everyone will be getting on the tubes to Canary Wharf, because that's... You know what I mean? Like, you've sort of got to draw a line on it. And I'm not saying that you want the country to stop or anything like that, but where do you draw that line, basically, is what I'm trying to get at. Yeah, where do you say that's fine and that's not okay?
And that's the problem. And Wolves, obviously, they wanted the game postponed. We spoke about that. And almost Getafe, who are in this competition as well, they're trying to take it into their own hands, saying they're refusing to travel to Italy for their game with Milan. UEFA are saying this is going ahead. But with teams doing that, and if they don't turn up then, Jordan, I mean, what happens?
Well, there's going to be the thing of there's going to be sanctions, isn't there? And I think ultimately that's sort of what Wolves put on the website as well. Ultimately, that's down in underlying, like, if we don't go, with, you know, right in the we're not out of the tournament, but that ultimately is what you're facing. And I'm sure that you know, in an Inter Milan versus Getafe tie, and all due respect, I'm sure, you know, UEFA is straight and narrow these days, but they're going to want to keep Inter Milan in the tournament, aren't they? So if it's a way of just going, well, okay, Getafe, if you don't want to travel, you're out of the tournament, it's no loss to them. Mm. And that's a real harsh reality of it. And, you know, I think that ultimately, I don't blame Getafe players, the club not wanting to go, and making a stand of it, really. I think it is going to take something like that for a bit of seriousness around the situation, I think. It, ultimately, like, you know, a top player in the Premier League saying, look, I'm not willing to play at the moment with the, you know, with this going on. So if, you know, like sort of a Salah or a Mane or whatever, turn around and said, look, I'm not playing, then that's when I think it'd probably get the bigger reach that it probably requires, really, to be able to become a real public... I mean, it already is a public debate, but an actual serious public debate. As soon as star players saying, look, I'm not putting my family's health at risk, I'm not playing, that's where you're going to get... I think that's where you're going to get action, really.
Yeah, it's so true. And then, but the game is still going ahead, Jordan. On the game itself, then, behind closed doors, what do you make of the tie against Olympiacos? We spoke about it. Arsenal killers, a return for Daniel Pedence as well. You know, they're tough. But does this game, now that it is played behind closed doors, is it a little advantage to Wolves? Because we always know of that intimidating hotbed atmosphere in Athens at Olympiacos. And now, Wolves won't have to face that.
I think it's a massive advantage, really, and it's a fine margins when you're in the last stages of European competitions where you need things to go in your favour. And not saying you do need a bit of luck, but this isn't a luck situation at all with the coronavirus, but you do need those little things going for you. And the fact of it being played behind closed doors, I mean, I've seen, you know, watched them against Tottenham this season, Champions League, Arsenal as well. Those fans are fantastic, and it would have been hostile. It'd have been a proper European tie, which is sort of why I feel a bit sorry for fans who are travelling. And ultimately, I want to see Wolves playing in these atmospheres and these, you know, like Besiktas earlier on. Mm. Not necessarily like a massive name in Europe, but you know you're going to go there. It's going to be a bit hostile, a bit intimidating. And that's what it's about, really. So it does take away that. But in terms of footballing sense, I think that, yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, I'd say it's advantage Wolves now in terms of it being played behind closed doors, absolutely.
And that's what we kind of, I didn't get to it, Jordan, but that is kind of it, because sport and football is nothing without the fans. And we're hearing that, Guardiola saying it, Nuno saying it, you know, if we're not going to be there, the fans can't be there, then why play these games at all? It's the lifeblood of the sport.
Yeah, absolutely. And today as well, going sort of slightly off topic, LeBron James has said...
I saw that,
He said, like, if there's no fans, I'm not playing. And that's what I was trying to draw the contrast of. It need, like, a mega star, like LeBron James is in the NBA, to say, look, if there's no fans, I'm not playing. What's the point? We do this for the fans. So, and I completely agree. I don't want to be sitting at home watching, you know, every European and Premier League game to the end of the season and this race for fourth place, you know, on the TV screen with no fans in there. It takes a lot of that away. It takes a lot of it away. And so you imagine, like, Wolves getting to the final of the Europa League and no one can travel. Like, it'd be
disaster.
I'd want to cry myself to sleep. It just won't be fair.
Yeah, that memory taken away from you so cruelly. I mean, but it's crazy that we're still saying it, because they do have that chance to get to that final. But just quickly then, Jordan, a score prediction for Thursday night.
It's going to be again, like that. You've got to play Olympiacos on merit. They're unbeaten in the Greek League. They're not used to losing games. I watched them against Arsenal both legs, and I don't think they're anything special, to be honest with you, but you wouldn't have to be really to win the Greek League. But you've got to, you know, they're in the last 16. They've got a good win at the Emirates, albeit Arsenal were very poor. I'll be honest with you, I think that if we get... we just need an away goal, really. And if you offer me one all-male, I'd take it 100% every day of the week. I think we've probably got enough for them. If you're looking at it on paper, we bought their best player in January in Daniel Pedence. I didn't think they were great against Arsenal. And I think, you know, if we play to the best of our abilities, we should be coming through the tie over two legs. But I think take a one-all draw and take them back to Molineux.
Yeah, 1-1 draw taken back to Molineux. Away goals, so important. Well, Jordan is staying around with us because we're going to be talking about that Brighton game and looking towards that clash, if it does go ahead, with West Ham.
Love Sport.
You are listening to the Wolves Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Well, I am still joined by my super co-host, Jordan Russell, from the Wolves Fancast. And there is still so much Wolves to talk about. We haven't even talked about the game on the weekend, but it's where we start now because it was Brighton, it was 0-0. And when you are challenging for those Champions League spaces, it's frustrating, but still points, still a clean sheet, Jordan. What are the positives to take from it?
From the 90 minutes of that game, there weren't a lot, really.
I tried to tee you up as best I could,
yeah,
mate.
No, I'm not going to try and polish a turd about it. It was a poor game, really, from our point of view, and a poor performance. Brighton is somewhat of a bit of a bogey team for us since I've been born. We never seem to have good results against Brighton or Huddersfield, and that proved last year when we lost twice to Huddersfield as well. It was a pretty dour game. We didn't really create a lot. You could argue that Brighton were probably the better team without creating a lot themselves. We just lacked a bit of creativity, really. And one shot on target at home, doesn't matter who you're playing, really, especially for a team of our quality, it's just not good enough. But ultimately, we're allowed an off day. There's not been many this season. And, you know, I think it's quite easy to forgive and forget pretty quickly, especially with the run of games we've got coming.
Yeah, and that was kind of what I was going to ask next, Jordan, because Wolves played 47 games so far this season. And that is actually, I think it's one more than they did last season. And we're talking about now, there will be a little bit of a hangover from those Thursday games and starting their season in July. I'm not saying that they've completely run out of steam and this is where they're going towards the end of the season, but you will have an off day and ultimately, no disrespect to Brighton, they have bigger priorities at the minute, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely, and they like I say, ultimately for Brighton, it's a cracking point when you look at it. I mean, they haven't been in the best of form. I think they've won 2 in 14 and not 1 in 2020, so we had a Brighton fan on the Wolves Fancast on the Wednesday just before the show, and he wasn't looking forward to the game, put it like that, so I'm sure that they're quite happy with the point they've got. And like I say, in terms of, we've played a lot of games and I think we're allowed an off day. I mean, people will say, you know, maybe they're a bit tired, a bit jaded. And naturally, after playing so many games, that is going to come into effect. But, you know, every time we think they're a bit tired and a bit jaded, they go out and pull a result like they did against Tottenham away and Man City away after the Thursday travelling. So there is a resiliency and a tenacity about this team. I just think it was just an off day. And I think that, yeah, we had a bit of a moan about it straight after the game, but ultimately, you've got to forgive and forget, and we go, you know, ultimately go again Thursday and then Sunday again in the league.
Yeah, and you did say there wasn't many positives to take, but it was a clean sheet, and it was actually a fourth clean sheet in the last five, Premier League games. That is as many as they've had in the previous 25. You know, we talk about Wolves firing on all cylinders, being frightening going forward, but defensively at the back, Jordan, it's a brilliant foundation they've found themselves in.
Yeah, and a lot of that's down to the reintroduction of Willie Bolly back from his fractured leg. Like I said it a couple of weeks ago, and I know he got clipped because I got a few people giving me a bit of stick for it. But I do think he's in, you know, the top three defenders in the Premier League, outside of Van Dijk and probably Laporte when he's fit as well. And I think it'd be hard to say. Well, I'd have a case, I think, against most other defenders. Say, I think that Bolly's right up there with the rest of them. He's obviously come into the team, back in the team, have been fantastic. Roman Saiz has been incredible for the past 3-4 months for us, arguably player of the season, if not definitely the most improved player of the season, even more so than Traore. So when you've got that sort of foundation, you've got a world-class goalkeeper and Rui Patricio behind them, you've got, and ultimately as well, Connor Cody leading the whole team and doing a fantastic job as well. I mean, defensively we're sound, and when you're not conceding goals, you've got a big chance of winning games because you only need one goal to win a game, and that's ultimately Nuno's master plan. Is we keep it tight, we control the game, and, you know, we'll pick up points by being defensively sound and solid, and that's ultimately what we have been for the last few weeks.
Yeah, and there's been a few stalemates in a row with Brighton. Why is it when these two sides face each other, they just seem to cancel one another out?
Last season, Brighton completely stumped the place out. He's been truthful. It was under Chris Hughton and Glenn Murray was, it was 4-5-1, and Glenn Murray was probably playing 25 yards outside his box. But that was a game they come to us in the dire need of getting a point there. They lost so many games in a row. But ultimately,
like
as well, a bit like this year, ultimately. But I think you've got to give credit where it's due. I mean, they're not a bad team in terms of sort of, you know, how they're set up. They've got a few decent players. I mean, defensively, I know they've conceded a few goals, but when they get it right and it's when he tells the defenders to defend and not try and play out like Barcelona, people like Dunk, Webster, Duffy, Dan Burton, you know, they'll defend and do a job for you. And they've obviously got a solid goalkeeper behind them in Matt Ryan as well. So I don't think they're a bad unit, really. It didn't help on Saturday that Yves Bazuma end up playing like prime Zidane against us. And I think that even the Brighton fans were like, where the hell's this performance come from? But he was head and shoulders best player on the pitch. And any time I've seen him, limited only when Brighton are on TV, I thought he's been quite rubbish. So the fact that he was the best player on the pitch Saturday, and he ran the show, and you know, credit to them, it's a good point for them. Sometimes you've got to move on and say, you know what, we weren't good enough today, and get over to the next game.
Yeah, and we know points are at a premium in this top four race. Obviously, Brighton chasing points of their own, and a point is always good, Jordan. But when you are trying to make that top four, you just need a little bit more on average, because teams around you in good form, momentum. We know Spurs are struggling at the minute, but Man United have found another stride, another gear, and you do have to keep pace, because ultimately points are good and being unbeaten is great, but it's more that is needed to get over that line. Where are you standing on the top four race at the minute? Because you're currently 5 points off Chelsea.
Well, I mean, we're still in it 100%. And I think that, yeah, ultimately, it was 2 points dropped on the weekend. And watching those Sunday games, I mean, I sort of expect Chelsea at home to beat Everton. And that's fine. We've got to go to Stamford Bridge and get something. We know that anyway, if we want to come in the top four. The United game against City stung a little bit. Because you think that, you know, especially on previous history of City going to the Old Trafford, they've battered them, they've took the mickey out of them time and time again. So, cracking result for United. Yeah, they've sort of picked it up a step. And it does make it slightly harder, but I think that with our run of fixtures, we've still got our back ourselves, you know. If we get a lot of positive points, I think from the, including the Brighton game, we had a good run of sort of five games. And ultimately, I thought if we got 10 points out of 15, including the Brighton game, that we'd probably be making up points on Chelsea and United. Obviously, we're 2 points down on that straight away. But, you know, we've got some, you know, we've got West Ham, we've got Villa, we've got Bournemouth, the next three. They're all very winnable games, really, on paper. So we've got to back ourselves to get positive results and just, you know, keep putting the pressure on. Ultimately, Chelsea are in the driving seat. But how they've been up and down all season, you would expect them to slip up now and again as well. So we've just got to take advantage of that when we can.
Yeah, and on that West Ham game, it's going to be interesting for a couple of reasons, because obviously Wolves are chasing that top four. West Ham are in a relegation battle, so there's much at stake for both teams here. And even though West Ham aren't on a great run at the minute, they've kind of found a little bit of momentum. It was a good performance against Arsenal, a good one against Liverpool, even though they lost them games. And they actually feel they've got something going forward, so they're up for it on the weekend. What do you make of the contest?
I think it's going to be interesting. I think that they're not a bad footballing team in terms of going forward. They've got a lot of attacking options, really. So I think they can be dangerous, no doubt. I think defensively they're quite poor, though. I think the fullbacks are quite weak in those areas. I think you can get at West Ham as long as you can stifle them the other way. And I think that's probably what part of the problem is. I don't really buy into this David Moyes being a bad manager complex, me personally. I think that he did a good job of Everton. At Man United, you could argue he hadn't done any worse than any other United manager that's gone in there since Fergie. And when he went to West Ham the first time around, I thought he did okay. So I think that under Moyes, I think they'll have enough to survive. And I think they're not a bad team. But, you know, they've got some dangerous players. Antonio, Haller, Bowen, Fornals, Anderson's on the bench, Lanzini, Snodgrass is it a bit of form. You know, so they've got some decent players. So, and that's, you know, that can be dangerous to anyone in the league. But I think that ultimately, we know that if we can keep it quiet for the first 15 minutes, it's a bit of a toxic place at the minute. They obviously want the board out. I think if you get it, you know, keep it edgy for the first 15, 20 minutes, I think that it plays into our favour, really.
Plays into your favour then, Jordan. Last question, you know, is coming. Score prediction for the Hammers on the weekend.
I think we might get another high-scoring game like the Tottenham game a couple of weeks back. So I'm going to go 3-2 Wolves.
Oh, Jordan's going to go 3-2 Wolves then, predicting a win for his side, as he always does. What a way to end the show. But just before that, are you having trouble managing your van insurance with Churchill? Because our comprehensive policies offer you peace of mind. 24-hour accident recovery, £500 cover for loss or damaged audio equipment, plus guaranteed repairs for 5 years. Visit the van page at churchill.com. There you have it, the Wolves Fan Show. We'll be back at the same time next week, as it is every Wednesday, 8 to 8.30 on Love Sport Radio.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.